Life under the law. Throwing away old covenants, getting rid of things, building upon new. It was a day when sacrificial theology ruled, the time when Jesus preached and taught. Much like the Middle Eastern street markets or a busy American holiday craft show, the path to the temple was crowded. It was tempting and frustrating. It was an unreal place. If you've ever been to an open market where people pull all their stuff out in the middle of the streets, where they close things down, if you've ever been to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Holy City, if you've ever been into the marketplace and to the gates in the downtown, everything there is nothing but a marketplace, and you have to weave yourself in and out through it. And people are selling everything, and it's a crowded place, and it's hard to get through. And that's what it was like in the door of the temple that day. And it was very frustrating. It was very aggravating. Jesus saw worshipers being driven by guilt rather than gratitude, frustration rather than joy, and fatigue rather than renewal as they walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem to the temple. They were dreading being there. They were coming in. We need to think about how we come to church on Sunday morning. We need to think about how we get up and get ready and prepare ourselves for our day. Are we running around chasing a young'un trying to get clothes on him or her? Are we threatening a teenager to get up and get, God, I'm telling you for the last time, this is it. I'm not coming back in here again. And are we muttering and grumbling and growling? Are we thinking, Lord, I got to go ahead. I was trying to read the paper. I was trying to do this. Well, you know, those type of things that we, sometimes part of that's necessary and sometimes it's not. There are things that we do as we prepare our hearts and our minds. I think about something that happened when I was a child. There's a family in our church that they had been fussing and arguing all morning, getting ready to go to church, just get your clothes on, hurry up, where's this, where's that? Nobody can ever find anything. Nothing's in the right place. Everybody gets in the car and they're going down the road. And the girl says, well, here we go, the Happy Goodman family. Off to church. You know, in other words, what are we doing? How are we preparing our hearts and our minds? Do we get up and make it a peaceful place? Do we not allow things of the world to come in and bother us? On Sunday morning, I take my paper out of the box, usually when I walk back over to help Mama to get back over here, and I leave it in a chair. I read it on Sunday afternoon. I don't bother it because I don't want it to worry me. I don't turn the TV on Sunday morning either. I don't play with my phone to see who's bothered me unless it's a message like, I need your help. I don't turn on the news part of it because I don't want to bring those things into. I know the world's out there, don't get me wrong. I know it's out there, I know it's around us, but sometimes you don't want to think about all the bad, all the stuff. You want to put your mind focused on something. Because somebody will tell you if something bad has happened. Someone will let you know if someone needs my help. Someone will definitely let me know. But try to prepare our hearts and our minds for what it is about. When we start, when we wake up first thing. But you know, sometimes we wake up late. We wake up in a hurry. We wake up already behind, and we try to catch up. And sometimes we're trying to catch up all day long. Sometimes we're not real happy with the way things turn out. Sometimes when we slide ourselves into church and make ourselves to our pew, and I hope a few of you actually made it to Sunday school, and then a few of you slide in here, you come on over, you get here. Sometimes on Sunday morning when we're back there with the choir and I'll look out, somebody will say, was there many people out there? I said, well, it's only 10 till. There's a big hole. From then till the time we walk out, 10, 15 people show up. Because my goodness, please don't let me get here before 11 o'clock. Something might happen. I might have to say something. I might have to speak to somebody. I can get in there. I don't need to know all those things. How do we prepare? Near the temple that day, people found vendors trying to convince them to buy beautiful, specially blessed animals for sacrifices in the temple, or to exchange their own goods and wares for the acceptable sacrificial coins that they needed to donate. You see, in that time, in the Old Testament part of it, and even into this New Testament that we're about today, they were still living. They were still making sacrifices. Jesus had not died yet. They were still having to get things together. Church was something that you had to come and bring something to give, a sacrifice, so that you could get there right. Well, all this was happening. They were exchanging. They were doing. It was a life under the law in those days of Judaism. Life under the law. Worshippers didn't have much choice if their own animals bore blemishes or their means of making a living didn't include raising animals acceptable for the sacrifice in God's holy temple. You see, Jesus could see that life under the law was destroying lives rather than purifying hearts. He knew that it was not right. He knew that people were not doing it for the right reasons. It was just part of making things the way it's supposed to be with the law. Checking off, I've done what the law's told me to do today. It had nothing to do with changing their heart and their soul and their spirit. Nothing about that. He could see that people had become invested in life under the law, that the purpose of the temple donations and the sacrificial items were more important than worshiping God. They weren't worshiping anymore. They were making sure they had everything just right. Too many were obsessed with luxurious trinkets to show their righteousness. They had to have on the right clothes, the right holy of holies. They had to be all beautiful. They had to have on the right jewelry, the right everything. That they had forgot to honor God's temple as a holy place, a place of worship and fellowship. They had made a mockery out of it. They had brought everything into the vestibule, into the narthex, into the side. They were everywhere. The people couldn't even get into the church because you had to sell things. You had to buy things. You see, we are not all that different from those early worshipers of God. A group of people who are scared to be together in economic diversity. We may be afraid that little gifts and offerings aren't big enough. Or we think that others with more money or fewer responsibilities should pull the weight for us. Oh boy, are we wrong. We hold back a donation until we get our way on an upcoming church project or some kind of doctrinal stance or something that's going on within our denomination or our country or politics or something that people believe in instead of believing in God and serving Him. Such temptations towards selfishness or feelings of inadequacy are all the results of letting life under the law guide us. Letting the things of the world guide us. Jesus came to proclaim a new law, not a destruction of the old law, but rather a fulfillment of it. He didn't want to completely destroy it. I just want to fulfill what He's already been talking about. God talked about these things. Isaiah talked about these things. So many of the prophets of old talked about the Messiah to come, the beginning, the sacrifice that would be there. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, He says, I will raise it up, He tells us in verse 19. Not just the temple of Jerusalem, not the temple of God's Ten Commandments, not the temple of modern-day ethics or church rules and regulations, but rather, the temple of Jesus Himself would be destroyed. A prediction that Jesus' disciples struggled to understand. Jesus' body was destroyed so that believers might put to rest guilty hearts, resist temptations to power and judgment, and overcome frustrations with not being good enough. People stay away from church for so many reasons, and there's a lot of them. They're guilty. They've got guilty hearts. Things tempt them. Power and judgments of others. All kinds of things. Frustrations. Not being good enough. You see, all those things keep people here and they also keep people away. People don't understand. They're here. They're afraid. They're not coming. Why? You see, Jesus' body was raised up so that believers might know the joy of life in Christ. So that we might know the joy of life in Christ. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. We should know that. The excitement of following God, of being one of His followers, the abundance of hearts full of love, not the abundance of hearts full of guilt and obeying the law, but a heart full of love. Those are the pure hearts that God wants for our lives. He wants us to have pure hearts. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, it says in the Psalms. Create in me a clean heart. We need to have those pure hearts that people tried to achieve through animal sacrifice or large financial gifts. Oh, but pure hearts are given freely and graciously by God through Christ Jesus. Oh, that's the new covenant that God has made. His Son, our Savior, the new covenant that comes by knowing Him. For those who don't know Christ, oh, this message is not needed for them. They don't know Christ. Guess what? It's the message that they need the most. It is the message that we all need the most. For those who do not believe, for those who don't think they need anything, they're the ones who need it more than anyone else. You see, God is waiting. God is waiting to shower that love and freedom that gives us a heart to love one another and to love God abundantly. To love each other, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves. To care about people and what is going on in their lives. Not to wonder, not to judge, not to figure out why someone's looking this way or that way, but to say, I love you in Christ. For those who know Christ, the much-needed message is that a pure heart is assured and God's love is with us no matter what. God's love is with us no matter what. Are we willing to continue to live our lives under the law of this world and society and the Old Testament and not believe in the newness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we still willing to pass judgment so badly on others? Are we still willing to hurt folks? Are we still willing to do the things that we do? And sometimes we do it unknowingly, but oh, so many times we do it knowingly. And as Christians, wow. What a place that is. Old covenants are destroyed, Jesus says. I have come to make a new life and to make it more abundant. I have come to give you life. I've come to let you know that this temple is going to be destroyed and in 3 days it will be built back up. The temple of God, the temple of Jesus Christ, the temple of the church, that is where we worship. I invite you this morning to come. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you gave Him so that we can have life eternal. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that your child made. I thank you, Lord, for giving Him up. Oh, what a sacrifice that must have been. We can't fathom what it would be like to willingly give a child to die so that everyone else could have life eternal. Lord, remind us of that in following you daily. Remind us of that sacrifice. Remind us of that goodness that comes through knowing you. Remind us that we should not let our Savior die in vain. That we are to follow and serve and give and be and do that which you have called us to be. Lord, now, be with us. Bless our time, not only in these moments left, but in this week ahead to prepare us for our journey. Because we're all on a journey. Some of us haven't figured that out yet. Some of us know that we are. Some of us are just waiting for the next wonderful thing to happen. Some of us are just waiting to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Some of us are just hanging on for that. Others are just dreading every day. Others are looking in so many different ways. So, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to receive you each and every day of our lives. Be with us now. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our response this